Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's program, lesson number 2 of week number 41, studying Mark chapter 13. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll free at this number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Remember to stay current with or to catch up on our IGH 260 broadcasts. You can always access them at internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. Before we return to our study of Mark 13, remember this. Every passage in Scripture relates to the "you need to move from here to there" divine directive. The knowledge and the attitudes and the actions that God expects are ubiquitous in the Word, including everywhere, of course, in Mark's Gospel. We are not there yet, but when Mark closes his narrative in the last chapter, he will do just what Matthew did in the last chapter of his Gospel. He will picture a scene where Jesus, right before his ascension, will commission the apostles to preach the Gospel to the world. The Gospel that the apostles and all first-century Christians preached does, in principle and in practice, what all of Scripture does. It does just what Jesus did in the Gospel accounts. It will let people know where they are, spiritually speaking. It will inform them where they need to be, again, spiritually speaking. And it will direct them, instruct them, command them to move from where they are to where God wants them to be. As you read through the New Testament, those directives are often summed up in 3 words: faith, repentance, baptism. Each one carries much more meaning than what we sometimes associate with those words by themselves. They are part of what it means to love God and His Son. They are key to what it means to respect Father, Son, and Spirit. They are inseparable from what it means to serve God. And they are always central to how we honor God in our lives of joyful, willful, complete, and continuing surrender to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. As we study the New Testament, the move from where you are to where you need to be, that is the "be like Jesus" model, it will never be far from any text that we are reading and studying at the moment. No passage will ever be far from modeling Jesus. No verse or word will ever be far from the need for our faith, for our repentance, for our death to self and sin, and then alive to and for Christ in baptism, and the need for our ongoing daily surrender to Jesus from that point forward. It will always be there. It's anticipated in the opening verses of Mark chapter 1, and it will be finalized in the closing verses of Mark chapter 16. Here's where we were at the end of our last broadcast. One of the most critical matters addressed in Mark chapter 13, timing. Occasionally, First Testament prophets spoke to contemporary audiences about future events. Those future events were often presented as if they had already occurred. What does that have to do with what Jesus says in Mark chapter 13? In one word, everything. Jesus addressed future events in Mark 13. Not one event, but events. Plural, not singular. Jesus spoke about those events, not as if they might happen, but rather with certainty, as they would most definitely happen. But there's more to consider than their certainty. The timing of those future events, not just how long they would last, but more importantly, when they would take place. That's a very key matter in the chapter. We will discuss more when we get there, but for now, think about this. There are some events coming that Jesus clearly identified. Jesus identified, in part anyway, what those events were or what they would be. And Jesus identified when those events would occur. But then there are events that Jesus introduced that he does not describe so fully, and about which he says that no one knows when they will take place. What's so important about that? It appears to be as simple as keeping things in proper chronological perspective. We know that this event will transpire, and we know that it will happen at this time. We know that this, that is, this different event, will take place, but we do not know when it will occur. Seems simple, doesn't it? Yes, except when we, or others, happen to complicate it. We complicate matters by assuming that the unknown timing of certain events that Jesus addressed are really, from our perspective, known timed events, and that's when problems start. Let's be more specific. Jesus identified some very important details about the destruction of the temple and the destruction of the city of Jerusalem in Mark 13. Those matters, specifically the timing of those matters, are, according to what we read in this and parallel context, knowable. See Mark 24 and Luke 21. Not just knowable that they will occur, but knowable when they will occur. But in the larger context of this chapter, including both of the parallel accounts in Matthew and Luke, Jesus cautioned about claiming to know when end-of-time matters would take place. See Mark 13:32 and Matthew 24, verse 36. When will Jesus return? When will the final end-of-time judgment take place? When will our eternity in the presence of Father, Son, and Spirit start? I do not know. You do not know. According to what Jesus teaches here in Mark 13, no one knows. That's qualified and that's clarified with these words. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Mark 13, verse 32. No one living in the world at that time, no man, not even the Son of Man, no one knew when that hour would come. The angels in the presence of God, they did not know. Only God the Father knew. Again, we are not there yet, but there's a very good reason, only one of which we will note here, a very good reason why Jesus said that. In light of what we do know, that is, about the timing of those matters, in light of that, we must always be ready. We must always be prepared. That's conveyed in Jesus' simple use of the term watch within the text. The sense of urgency comes across in the first two of its meanings. First, to stay awake, be watchful, and second, to be in constant readiness, be on the alert. But it also comes across in its tense. As you might expect due to the nature of the context, including the matter of timing and Jesus' expressed concerns about it, as you would expect, it was a directive, an imperative command given to all. Jesus directly commanded all who heard him, and indirectly all who would later hear or read his message, to be constantly awake, constantly aware, constantly alert and prepared. Before we move forward into our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of Mark 13, this reminder about timing. It's not just a Mark 13 matter. It's an everywhere you read in the New Testament matter, and it's an everywhere you read in the First Testament matter. We are used to reading the biblical text and assuming, in many cases, that what we read has been written in a very straight line or linear and strictly chronological order. Not so. Ancient writers, including inspired biblical writers, often jump from place to place geographically and from one time period to another chronologically. Thus, before we make definitive pronouncements about what happened or what would happen at this time or at this place, we need to make sure that we have not misrepresented issues of timing or geography in our claims. Let's start our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of the chapter, Mark 13. Mark chapter 11, verse 1 and following, starts Mark's account of the last week of Christ's life. It begins with Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, an account that depicted both Jesus' divine foreknowledge as well as his prophetic fulfillment. We are not very far into the 11th chapter when we see the tension between Jesus and the religious leaders begin. Jesus drove the merchants and the money changers from the temple and called the temple my house. The scribes and the chief priests heard what Jesus said and sought how they might destroy him. Mark chapter 11, verse 15 and following. Near the end of Mark chapter 11, Jesus, as he walked through the temple, was challenged by the priests, elders, and scribes about his authority. Mark 11, 27 and following. As Mark chapter 12 opens, Jesus critiqued the beliefs and the behavior of those leaders by comparing them to the wicked vine dressers in a very pointed parable, the first 12 verses of Mark 12. For the second time in two chapters, the religious leaders' intentions are clear. They sought to lay hands on him, verse 12 of Mark 12. Incidentally, in each case, the leaders were hesitant to act on this impulse because of their fear of the multitudes who held Jesus in high regard, chapter 11, verse 18, and again, chapter 12, verse 12. As Mark 12 moved forward, Jesus endured testing questions by the tag-team duo of the Pharisees and the Herodians, who challenged Jesus about paying taxes to Caesar, verse 13 and following, followed by the Sadducees, who tested Jesus with questions about the nature of the resurrection, verse 18 and following. Mark 12 ended with two positive lessons and two more negative messages. The positive lessons, the scribe who was not far from the kingdom of God, verse 34, and the generous widow, verse 41. The two negative messages, Jesus' challenge to the religious leaders about David's identity, verse 35 and following, and Jesus' warning about the self-centeredness of the scribes, verse 38 and following. What's significant about these two chapters, Mark 11 and Mark 12, as we head into our discussion of Mark 13? In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of the 13th chapter of Mark. This reminder as we close, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to ighworldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.